So we're looking at creative expression in prophecy and prayer. So let's just pray. Sorry, I've caught Grant's naughtiness. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Daddy, eternal Father, loving Papa, the one who created the heavens and the earth and the cosmos and all that's within us, who knit us together in our mother's womb after first dreaming us up in your heart. Father, hallowed be your name. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. We take a moment to bask in your presence. You stand beside us, you surround us, you cloak us with your goodness, you cause mercy and favor and goodness to run after us all the days of our life, to pursue us down so that we know that we're never alone. God, I like that version much more than for our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you for creativity. Thank you for creative ways of addressing you, of worshiping you, of expressing our hearts to you. Tonight, Father, let us bask in your presence and have fun doing it. Amen. Amen. Words are important. They're so important. We can just let them dribble off the end of our tongue, or we can send our words to do a job. We know God sends his words, don't we? My word which I send forth will not return to me void, but will always accomplish what I send it to do. Don't just let words dribble off the end of your tongue. Send them to do a job. Send your words to praise God. Send them to build up his throne. Send them to bless somebody. Or we can send them to hurt somebody, but we won't go there. Grant went there this morning, so we won't go there again. Okay, so now let me see if I can press the right button. Look at that. God is a creator, and you're created in his image. So it stands to reason, if God is a creator, that we were made to be one as well. We were made to be a creator and to use the creativity that he placed in it. Now, we think of creativity and we think of things like paintings, you know, or floral art or whatever you're into, you know. But every time you solve a problem, it's your creativity suggesting solutions. If you've ever had a problem and you've solved it, it was your creativity that solved it. When you got up this morning and you chose what you were going to wear, your creativity suggested that top and those trousers. The way you decorate your house, the way you present yourself. Now, for some of us, we present ourselves in ways that don't truly reflect who we really are, because we think there's a religious way that we should present ourselves. You know, I can remember back in the 80s, high heels every Sunday, pantyhose, dresses, big earrings, big hair, shoulder pads. Oh, I loved my shoulder pads. Oh, yeah, the men have shoulder pads in their suit jackets. Well, yeah, some do, but we won't go there either. Yeah, and you didn't dare wear trousers to church as a woman. It just wasn't acceptable, particularly not if you were a leader. I can remember Julie Steele. We served with John and Julie at North Shore Faith Centre for 10 years. Absolutely loved them. But I used to do a lot of dancing, worship dance during those days. So I would take my shoes off, my high heels off, and walk around in my pantyhose. And Julie would go, "Put your shoes back on, Lynn." Why? And then I can remember one time I decided to try and let my creativity a little bit loose. This is totally off the subject. I've already gone off the subject. We're not 5 minutes in. And so, what? That can't be right. So I went and got my hair coloured. I wanted some highlights in it. Streaks. Except the streaking cap bled a little bit. So I had some blonde streaks and an orange bit. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that was in the day of MC Hammer pants. Drop crotch. You know the look? And that's the sort of style I liked, you know, like just really funky fun, but only ever at home, not ever in church. So here I am at home, wearing my MC Hammer pants, a white blouse, a waistcoat, vacuuming my floor with my shoes off, with my three-coloured hair. And then I remember, oh, it's the regional leaders meeting at church this morning, and I'm supposed to be doing sound, and it starts in 10 minutes. I grabbed my keys, jumped in the car, jumped out at church, bare feet, MC Hammer pants, three-coloured hair. And I thought, I can be me. Pull your big girl pants up. Hitch those MC Hammer pants up. Make them look a little bit more normal. Walk in, set up the sound gear, and fake your way through it. But I learned that day it was okay to be me. Some people didn't like how I dressed. She's got two colours in her hair. No, she hasn't. She's got three. I overheard that remark. And poor Julie. I will always regret this day. She said to me, "Lynn, I don't really like what you've done with your hair." And I said, "Oh, that's right. I don't like what yours looks like either." Hey, how to be a leader and work with other leaders. Be authentic, hey, Grant? What, that can't be right. So anyway, God is a creator and you get to be a creator too. You get to be creative, you get to be you. And I think the church would look a little bit more fun if we actually let ourselves be us a bit more. So anyway, so God is a creator and you're made this image. Back in the 13th century, Richard of Chichester penned this prayer. And when I say the words, you'll recognize it, but not, you probably won't have heard that it's from the 13th century. "Day by day, day by day, O dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day by day. That was turned into a song in the 20th century and used in the musical Godspell. A 13th century prayer that they thought, oh, the words of this say something that needs to be said in a different way and updated. So in their creativity, they put it to music. So one of the things that we see is that creativity in Scripture is linked to being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. The first man reported in Scripture to be filled with the Spirit of God is Bezalel in Exodus 36, 1-4. And it says of him, "Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts." So his filling in the Holy Spirit was, he was filled with the ability as a craftsman. I do have a copy of the notes for you for after. So don't panic if you don't get it. And he is given both him and Aholiab, son of someone else, the ability to teach others. So Bezalel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. So here we see back in the Old Testament, the first mention ever of being filled with the Holy Spirit was a craftsman, someone creative. And then we don't hear of anyone else being filled with the Spirit till the New Testament, to the day of Acts. So creativity is closely associated with the filling of the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you a couple of examples from my life. My life's been filled with creativity. I was never creative as a kid. I was totally shut down as a kid. I was told my imagination was bad, and I was a daydreamer and, you know, all the stuff. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I started to express creativity. And since then, I've gone on to do all sorts of things. First thing I ever did was start to dance. And I blame that on the New Life churches. Rob and I were in Rutland Street Brethren Church, and we went to Horticultural Hall one night, and I saw a lady dancing. And I was only just learning to lift up my hands, and they got to about that far at the time, you know. And I thought, oh God, I'd love to do that. I'd love to be as free as she is, but only ever in private, not ever in public. I couldn't do that in front of people. I couldn't let people see me. So the next morning, Rob went off to work. I was without a job at the time. And I put on a scripture and song tape, locked the front door, shut the curtains, and stood there and cried my eyes out because I didn't know how to be free. So I started just by learning to lift my hands. And then when I could lift those easily, I started to wave them. I'd never had a dance lesson in my life. And then I started, when my hands felt free and I could do all sorts of things with my hands, I started to include the top half of my body. And I would bow at my waist and move to the side. You know, I mean, like, so free, you know. What, that can't be right. No, it is right, Grant. And then I started walking around my lounge. And then I started bowing and I started kneeling and I started putting sequences of steps together. And by this time we'd moved out of the Brethren Church to Parklands Baptist. And I'm standing there in church one day and God says, "Dance for me, Lynn." I'm like, no way. I'm not doing that. People will see me. So for 3 months, me and God had this little running conversation every Sunday, dance for me. No, I can't. People will see me and they'll see what I'm really like. And what I'm like isn't nice. They'll see the real me. And I thought, okay, God, what can I do about this? I know, I'll go and talk to the pastor and he'll say we don't do that here. So I rolled up to Derek Wiltshire and said, hey, Derek, can I talk to you about something? This is what I feel has been impressed on me. I didn't say what God had said to me. Impressed on me. You know, because like, it's a bit easier to get out of that language than this is what I feel like God's told me to do. You know, let's skirt around being disobedient if we can, you know. Anyone else ever done that? No. Sorry, I'm prattling, aren't I? So he said, oh, if God's telling you to do it, do it. And I'm like, oh. And then I had this thought, if I don't obey him, he'll stop asking. And that was more frightening than my fear of stepping out in front of people. So the next Sunday during worship, God said again, Lynn, dance for me. And I'm like, dude, I've never taken a dance lesson in my life. I can walk around my lounge, you know, I can bow a little bit, and you know, I'm not a dancer. I'm 5'2", I'm slightly overweight. I was less overweight then, but you know, in some people's minds, still definitely overweight. I actually liked my figure, but that was all right. And I thought, okay, God, I'm going to do it. So I stepped out and did this halting, scared little dance, shaking on the inside, thinking, please, everyone, have your eyes closed so you don't see me. And then after the service, two people came up to me, and one said, I wish I had the freedom you have. And I'm like, yeah, right. And then another person came up and said, when you danced, God healed me. Wow. And I'm like, oh, flip. This isn't just about me and you, is it? And from there, God took me on this journey that led me to being part of establishing the Christian Dance Fellowship here in New Zealand and teaching in dance seminars here in New Zealand and in Australia, and being told by trained ballet teachers that I could easily win prizes in the competitions that they judged. And they asked what school overseas I'd been to for training. And I'm like, I've never had a dance lesson in my life. And they're like, oh, yeah, you've obviously been trained, and you've obviously been trained outside New Zealand. And I'm like, and you know what was happening all during that time? Was I was saying, God, please, can I go to dance lessons? And you go, no, I'll teach you. For 10 years I asked him, please, can I go to dance lessons? And he went, no, I'll teach you. And then I thought, I should probably stop asking, shouldn't I? So that was one of my forays. And that lasted for many years until I started to get hip problems and can't dance as well now. So then I started painting, and I started sculpting, and I started making prophetic jewelry and all these other sorts of things. I can remember one time we were making some prophetic jewelry, and we were going over to Thailand, and we were going to be ministering to the girls in the bars. So we took a whole pile of stuff with us, bought some more stuff over there, and sat in the hotel and made prophetic jewelry to go out and give to the girls in the bars. And what we did was we knew that colours have meanings and stones have meanings. And we also used the little cube beads that have a letter on them. And we would ask God for a one-word phrase that would encourage this girl or tell them of their value. And then we'd create it into a bracelet, and then we'd go out on the streets to find who we would share the bracelets with. I can remember we shared it with one girl, this one girl in a bar, And she was really touched, and she started to weep because no one had ever spoken value into her life before. And we didn't get to see her the rest of that trip. And it was, you know, one of those sad things. And you're just going, okay, God, just do your work. Came back a year later, and we're walking down the same street, and I hear this cry from a bar, Melissa! Because Melissa was walking with me. And Melissa was the one who had actually given the bracelet to the girl. And this girl comes running out of the bar a year later, recognizing Melissa. Now, you've got to realize this is Thailand. These girls see thousands of people a day walk past their bars. She comes out and she's still wearing her bracelet a year later. And she goes, where have you been? I missed you. You don't know when your creativity will touch someone. This is one of the paintings that I did in a worship time at Tiana. And it's a prophetic word for the Maori seers and prophets to rise up and take their place in the nation. And that's since become a prayer assignment that I carry through to this day, that the Maori seers would rise up and take their place. Maori prophets would rise up and be recognized in the church and take their rightful place. The other one is a prophetic word that my son did for me. And he did it in stencil art with spray cans. So he created each layer of the stencil and layered stencil upon stencil. And he said, Mum, this is the woodcutter's daughter. And she reminds me of you. You present as very sweet and innocent, but you carry a big axe to lay to the root of the tree. So that sits in my house as well. So all sorts of expressions. Janet asked that I share this one with you. We're working at Lifeway Ministries and running the church there, Rob and I, and we're in a corporate worship time, and the Lord says to me, grab your Bible, rip a page out, and eat it in front of everyone. And I'm like, God, you know that's going to get me in trouble. Do I have to? I mean, are you just, like, showing me that so that I can express that in words? You know, am I interpreting that correct? And he says, get your Bible, rip a page out, and eat it. And I'm like, okay. So I stand up in front of everyone with my Bible, open it up, rip a page out, which happened to be the first page of Isaiah. Start eating it. And I stand there and I chew and I chew and I chew, and it's horrible. It's bitter to the taste. Not sweet, like you think the Word of God would be. And then he says, now, ask that person for their belt off their trousers and bind the Bible to your hand with the belt. And then go and touch people so that it's my word that touches them, not your flesh. And I'm like, God, it was bad enough having to eat the page from the Bible. Now I not only have to bind the Bible to my hand with a belt, but you want me to leave it on till morning tea time so that even as I go about the first half of my day, I'm hampered and people see me trying to do everything with my dominant hand bound to the word. And so then, of course, I had to explain to people what I was doing, because you can't just do a dramatized word like that without giving a verbal explanation so they know what the heck you're on about. I did get in trouble for that one. Our boss at the time, precious man, just didn't understand me. But he said to Rob, can you just tell Lynn not to be quite so extreme? Would have been nicer if he had told me himself, but that's all right. Funny part was, a few years later, we got to work with Patricia King at Extreme Prophetic. Sorry. Totally off the subject there, wasn't it? But it wasn't. How extreme is extreme? When you look in the Bible, it's full of extreme creative acts. You've got prophets that lie on one side for so many days and roll over and lie on another side. You've got a prophet that builds a fire with human dung. There's all sorts in there. So elsewhere in Scripture, parables are used over 250 times. Prophetic acts are used over 60 times. Dance and movement is mentioned 135 times, believe it or not. Some of those words in our English translation are things like rejoice. And we just go, that means feel happy. But it doesn't. It means to leap for joy. It's a movement word. Jump up and down because you're so full of joy. Leap. Sculpture is associated with the prophetic and healing. Ezekiel 4, verse 1, where Ezekiel had to inscribe on a tablet a picture of Jerusalem, then lay siege to it. He had to build a sculpture of Jerusalem and build little siege machines and lay siege to it. In Numbers 21, we see the children of Israel who'd been disobedient. And God says to Moses, make a pole with a brass serpent on it, and whoever looks at the brass serpent will be saved, will be healed. And then, of course, there's Bezalel in the tabernacle. Prophetic musicians and singers. I love this quote from Martin Luther, the Reformation guy. He says, music is a fair and glorious gift of God. I am strongly persuaded that after theology, there is no art which can be placed on the level with music. The devil flees before the sound of music almost as much as before the word of God. Hosea 12:10, I have spoken to you by the prophets and I have multiplied visions for you and have appealed to you through parables acted out by the prophets. So what does that teach us about creativity? God chooses to speak to us in creative ways. He calls his children to minister in creative ways. And creativity is linked to prophetic revelation, prophecy, prayer, Jesus' ministry, and more. So in prayer and intercession, as well as in prophecy and in healing, we can use creative expressions to further emphasize what we pray and also to make our prayer more of a whole being expression, not just a verbal one. We can use dance, flags, visual art, vocalized prayer. Whatever we use, creativity is part of the heart of a house of prayer. So here's some ideas for personal use, families, and groups. Expressive movement and dance, like I said, well over 100 times in the Word it's used. Use your senses, use things that you see to give you a visual prompt to pray, as well as taste, touch, hearing, and smell. Use art, from stick figures to fine art, to sculpture, to collage, to jewelry, to knitted work, embroidery, and more. All those things can be incorporated in your prayer, or in your worship, or in your prophecy. Music and song, prayer journaling. Some other things. With your prayer journaling, you can use it just to write, or you can draw, you can post pictures in it, you know, all sorts of stuff. It's only limited by your imagination. Another creative idea for kids, create a prayer jar. Decorate it, get your kids to decorate a jar. Write on them things. Here's a couple. Pray for patience. Pray for God to give you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pray for something you need. Pray for our leaders. Talk to God about something you're worried about. List five things that you're thankful for. Pray for strength. Pray for your town. Every one of those has a prayer request on them. Or else you can create a prayer jar where you, like our big prayer bucket here, you write your prayer requests on a bit of paper and slip them in your jar. And then after a while, take them out and see how many have been answered and journal about it. So is there anyone here who works with kids? Okay, darling. There you go. Take that home with you. Get the lid from me later. Alrighty. So prayer jars, prayer walking. Ask God to give you insight into who lives in houses as you walk past them. Ask him for words of knowledge, words of discernment about what's happening in this street, etc. Make prayer bunting or flags. Again, like your sticks, you can do it with, you know, the bunting that you get. Write prayer requests on it, or write things like that. Pray for our leaders. You know, another good one for kids. To do with your kids. Make a thankfulness Christmas tree. Cut out paper or cardboard stars and get your family to each write two or three things, fill in two or three stars of things that they're thankful for, and have a thankfulness Christmas tree. One of the papers that's down there is a paper on ideas for a prophetic Christmas. And lots of different ideas you can do to do prophetically for people for Christmas. Use post-it notes. Stick them up all around your house. Write a psalm or use a prayer app if you're a tech person. There's loads of prayer apps there. If you want to know how to make a prayer jar, just Google make a prayer jar and about 10 sites will come up that'll show you how to make a prayer jar. So let your God-given creativity loose. Flow with the Holy Spirit and use it privately in worship and ministry and prayer. The possibilities are endless. So now we're going to get into the activations. Yes, we've got almost an hour for activations. Sorry. Little happy dance. Right, first one we're going to do is a movement prayer. What, that can't be right? Sorry, Grant, you're not going to hear the end of that. So, I should have thought this out beforehand, because I'm going to need to move, aren't I, to show you the actions. Ha! Look at that. Sorry for the squeaky noise. Okay, so we've got a simple prayer. Lord, I love you and I open myself up to you tonight. I shake off any restraints that restrict my freedom and loose myself into your love. I unlock the creativity you've placed within me and receive from you love and prophetic revelation tonight. Lord, let the adventure begin. Amen. So the movements for that, I'll just go through them with you. Lord, I love you. We're going to do it first with you sitting down, and then we'll do it standing up. So, Lord, I love you. You're just going to bring your hands from beside you up to your heart. Lord, I love you. And I open myself up before you tonight. That's it, Grant. Get into it. Movement isn't restricted to girls. Okay. I shake off restraints that restrict my freedom and loose myself into your love. Now we're going to do a Superman thing. I unlock. And when you do that one, you've got to push your chest out. I unlock the creativity you placed in me and receive from you love and prophetic revelation tonight. Then lift your head with the last one. Lord, let the adventures begin. Lift your head and smile at the Lord and position yourself to receive. Not too hard. I tried to keep it simple. But most of us, we're used to lifting our hands, aren't we? And the rest of our body just goes. So stand up, shake yourself off, loosen yourself up. Grant, you're not allowed to hide down the back.
Well, that can't be right.
So just loosen yourself up, shake yourself off. If we can play the Rivera song, that would be lovely. Lord, I love you. And while your hands are in that position, a little random fact, because I like random facts too, Grant. Holding your hand on your heart like that, apparently, if you hold your hand on your heart like that for 2 minutes, it's the same as receiving a 30-second to a minute-long hug. It has the same effect in your body. So when you're feeling down at home and you need to feel the Lord's love, stand there with your hands on your heart, or even just one hand has the same effect. And let the Lord hug you. Lord, I love you. I open myself up to you tonight. I shake off the restraints that restrict me, restrict my freedom, and loose myself into your love. I unlock the creativity you've placed within me and receive from you love and prophetic revelation tonight. Lord, let the adventure begin. Now we're going to do it one more time. And if you weren't saying the prayer as you were doing it, I want you to do that, because I can't hear over this. Lord, I love you. And feel his love in return. I open myself up to you tonight. I shake off restrictions that restrict my freedom and loose myself into your love. And I receive from you love and prophetic revelation tonight. Lord, let the adventure begin. Amen. Amen. Now just spend a moment thanking the Lord for your body that can move. Whether it's restricted and hampered in some way, or whether it's fully functional, thank Him for the movement that you do have, and for the expression that your body allows you to express. If you can just fade that out now, Caleb. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Then just as you feel you've finished interacting with the Father, feel free just to sit down. Going to go on to a simple, a simple word of encouragement activation now. Ruth and Grant and Janet and Deb, can you grab those four buckets and pass them around? If everybody can take a balloon, a piece of paper, and if you don't have a pen, use one of the pens that is in there, and we will get the pens back later. Grab a balloon of any colour you like. So what you're going to ask the Lord for this one, and this is a good one that you can do with your family as well, parents, or else it's good if you've got people coming for Christmas and you want to bless them, you can do this as well. And what you can do is you can actually fill all the balloons and put them under your tree. But we're going to do this this way tonight. So what I want you to do on that bit of paper is in one or two sentences, ask the Lord for a word of encouragement for someone, or a scripture that will bless them. We're not looking for a prophetic word, we're looking for a word of encouragement from the Lord. So it could be very simple one. God wants you to know how much you're loved, or God loves your creativity, or God thinks your quirkiness is really special. Just a very short one. I better have one too. And then you're going to roll it up and put it in your balloon. And blow the balloon up and seal it. For those that are good at blowing, pray for your leaders. pray for your friends, pray for your leaders, or you can do it if you're praying for the departments of a church. Put the departments and the leaders in balloons. So now what I want you to do is come up the front and grab yourself a balloon and pop it and receive a word of encouragement from the Lord. If you want to be spiritual, you can ask him, which balloon should I pick, God? Yeah, no fighting over the balloons. Have fun popping them. You can pop them up here or you can pop them back in your seat, whichever way you like. Oh, I love popping balloons. It's so much fun. Yes, 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 yes. I love it. Thank you. I'll have that one. Oh, it's not going to pop for me. My one won't pop. Look. Alrighty, and do pick up your bits of balloon, because Grant and Ruth won't thank us if we leave bits of balloon all over the floor. Okay, now take a moment to read what was written. And allow the Lord to speak to you through it. Now you might think, but that was just random. Like, how can God speak through something so random as picking a balloon? God speaks through random things all the time. You know, God is very clever at speaking through random things. So then, just have a moment to talk to him about what's been said over you. And then take a moment to pray for the person who wrote it. Thank God for them. Thank them for their listening heart, or their listening ear, for their creativity, for their love and care for you, and taking time to hear a word of encouragement for you. Father, sometimes you speak out of the most random things. We thank you that you're not religious. Help us not to be. Father, we thank you for your encouragement. And we thank you for the person who wrote this. Father, bless them with more revelation. Bless them with a greater depth of love for you. With a greater knowledge of how their uniqueness has an influence on everyone around them. And show them how to use that uniqueness, the uniqueness that is them, to portray something of you that my uniqueness doesn't. So that together we build this beautiful big picture of who you are. In all your goodness and all your glory. Amen. Does anyone feel like sharing what their note was? And if it touched you, yeah, let me come to you.
I just can't believe it's just so appropriate this time. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, if that's all right.
It's just beautiful. You've been seen by the Lord, and he is watching all that is happening to you today. He says, all is in my hands, and it will come to resolution. It will be good and it will bring multiplication. God loves you. It's so appropriate for this moment in our lives.
Awesome. Out of a random balloon. She could have picked any balloon. Yeah. Anyone else? Nope. Okay, we'll move on. One of the things I do want to encourage you, the reason I ask things like that, if you'd like to share, is because sometimes when you vocalize something, it makes it more real to you, rather than if you just keep it in your head. Because your words then reinforce what's been spoken over you. And you begin to prophesy and encourage yourself as well. And then you encourage others by what you share as well. So it's not about putting people on the spot. It's about doing things intentionally because I know the effect they have. Okay, so we're going to do another activation. How are we doing for time? Excellent. This is one we've done before, but I want to do it again. I want you to ask the Lord to put into your mind a simple mind image of a piece of clothing or an outfit. So when I first did this one, I said to the Lord, "Can you show me an outfit?" And I saw myself dressed as a little girl in a little girl's cowgirl outfit. And it had, you know, fringed vest and the skirt with a design on it. And it had cowgirl boots. But it didn't have a gun. And I thought it would have a gun. So I said to Lord, is this for me or someone else? He says, "No, this is for you." And I said, "Why don't I have a gun?" And he said, "Because I'm your protector. You don't need a gun. I will always protect you." And I'm like, wow. So you're going to pick a partner. If you're with your spouse, maybe choose somebody else. You can choose the person next to you. That's fine. And you're going to ask the Lord to put in your mind's eye a picture of an outfit or an item of clothing. And then you're going to look at that item of clothing internally and you're going to see what colours it is. Does it have any special designs on it? Does it have any particular significance like a cowgirl outfit? You know, I was into Westerns when I was a kid. You know, I think they were about the only thing really at the movies. When I was a kid, yeah, and Daniel Boone and all those guys. Sorry. So he was taking something of my childhood that I related to, yeah. And then you're going to ask the Lord, give me the interpretation of this. What does this mean for this person? What are you trying to say? So I'll model it quickly. Can I borrow you, darling, for a minute? Would that be all right? Sorry. Yeah, so I'm not going to make you do it. I'll just do it. What's your name again?
Annette.
Annette. I keep forgetting people's names. Okay, so here I am at the beginning of my prophetic process. Help, Lord, I have nothing. Anyone else ever start there? Yeah. It's my common place to start. So okay, so Annette, what I'm seeing, and this may sound like a funny picture to see, but because our mind would go, that's not, that's fantasy. You know, I'm seeing like the elves in Lord of the Rings, the woman elves. And the dresses they were dressed in were ethereal, and they were classically beautiful, and they were just full of luminescence. And I feel that that's what the Lord is saying about you, that there is a classic beauty about your life and a luminescence that shines through every part of you. And sometimes you don't see it, but he does, and other people do. And when they come into your presence, they go, oh, there's something otherworldly about her, because there is. And that's not fantasy. You are from a different kingdom. So, got the idea? So, thank you very much, darling. So, pick a partner and ask the Lord to show you an item of clothing or a outfit. And again, you don't have to prophesy over them. It can be a word of encouragement, or it can be, this reminds me of your personality. This is how I see you. And this is how the Lord sees you. And then just share that with them. Okay, then after you've shared with each other, just take a moment to pray for each other. Okay, I'll give you a minute more. If I can have your attention again. There are so many different activations that we could do tonight, but we probably only have time for one more. Hate that. Like, one day can we do a whole day of this? Just a whole day of activations? Would be real fun. Okay, so again, let's do this one. If you can, you guys can hand out a bit of paper and a pen if they don't have a pen. Grab a pen. Yeah, some of them put them back. Okay, now, just a little advertisement. If you're looking for stuff like this to do things for your family, Look Sharp, great place to buy prophetic prompts. It's a great shop for finding little bits and pieces that you can use as prophetic prompts or as things like that for people. So when everyone's got a bit of paper, let me know. Anyone who doesn't have one? Look Sharp at Tower Junction. Oh, and totally off the subject, but for all you ladies that are size 14 and over, TS at Tower Junction has got a sale that finishes Tuesday, and all their clearance section is an extra 30% off whatever is marked. So totally off the subject, but hey, creativity, look. Was $149, got it for $50. Totally off the subject, but hey, God is creative. I went to Look Sharp and I thought, I'll just pop in. Yeah. Okay, so you've all got a bit of paper. You're going to find a new partner. And then you're going to ask the Lord for a one-word statement, one word, and you're going to draw that word in some fancy way on your bit of paper. Oh, no. What, that can't be right, Grant?
It'll be a stick man, whatever it is.
It can be a stick man. But it's a word, so you actually have to draw the word. So unless the word is stick man, don't draw a stick man. And it's not hangman either, okay? Sheesh. So For example, you might get the word aroha. So you write that word in some sort of fancy way. Draw stars around it or sun rays coming off it or flowers around it. But you're going to make that word, you're going to make a piece of word art. Does that make sense? Like a doodle, but with a word. Yeah. Okay. Have I explained it clear enough? Okay, so you're going to do that. And then you're going to ask the Lord, Lord, what word do you want me to write for this person I'm paired with? Write it, draw it, fancy it up a little bit, and then give it to them and tell them the encouragement or the prayer that you're praying for them with it or a prophetic word with it. You can choose one of those three. The prayer you're praying for them related to that word, an encouragement from God to them, or a prophetic word from God for them. So again, araha is an easy one. It means love. It could simply be the Lord wants you to know that you are irrevocably loved. He will never leave you or forsake you. Never take his love away from you. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll give you 5 minutes to draw. Find yourself a fresh partner. Find the person first. Any word God gives you. Could be courage, it could be friend, it could be loyal, it could be fresh, could be oil, it could be anointing, it could be worship, it could be 150 million words. Okay, anyone doesn't have a partner? Yeah, go with your husband this time. Good bonding. A good bonding exercise, you two in the front row. Okay. Have you finished sharing? Would anyone like to share what the Lord said over them? Anyone? No one. No one wants to share. Okay. You can. Yes. Go, Margaret.
Well, I have this word called haven, and there's a picture with the H has got a roof on it, so it's a house, and then the A has got a river or a brook flowing from it, and then there's trees, and there's butterflies, and there's birds and bees and things. So, and it was the fact that I'm a sort of a, like a safe place. Is that right?
Awesome. Thank you so much, darling. Okay. So we're just going to finish up. I'm just going to explain what's in the sheet down here called a prophetic Christmas. We're coming up to the end of the year, and you can give a gift that means nothing, or you can give a gift that means something. And a gift that means something is not buying a person something you want to give them, but buying something that reflects who they are, that takes into account their personality, etc. So some of the ways you can be prophetic at Christmas. First one on here is called a key word. Find a key. It can be an old key. It can be, you know, any sort of key. And then tie a craft tag to it with a ribbon or string and ask the Lord for a one-word expression, like you just did in this activation. And then draw that on that one side of the tag. On the other side of the tag, write what it means. And then slip it in a Christmas card and give it to someone. Or you can make an actual card for someone. There's lots of card-making ideas out there. But again, you know, you can use paint, coloured pencils, stamps, quilling, etc. You can make an art gift, a collage picture, or a painted thing, or a painted rock. Make, you know, do some painted rocks and leave them lying around the community for people to find, you know, that just have a blessing on them. Be blessed. Have a great day, you know. Believe me, have a great day for some people is like an encouragement they need. Make a piece of prophetic jewellery, you know. Like I said, what we used to do for the girls in Thailand, here in New Zealand, we didn't use coloured beads or whatever. But as a team, we would go out on the streets. We would get together before, and again, we would use the beads that have a letter on them. And we would ask the Lord to give us a word, and we would make that word up out of the beads, and then we would string it onto leather thonging and put a pile of them in our pocket, knowing what ones we had in our pocket. And then we would just go out on the street and say, God, show me someone who needs encouragement. And we would rock up to them. For those of us that were introverts, it was always pull your big girl pants up before you rock up to someone. And we would say, hey, we're just out on the street giving words of encouragement to people because there is so much discouragement in the world. Would you like an encouraging word spoken over your life? And we would say, Lord, which bracelet? And we would pull the bracelet out, and it might have loyal, or it might have courageous, or it might have loved, or it might have creative, or whatever. And we would pull that word out, we would tie it on their wrist, and then we would give them the word of encouragement that bounced off that word that was on their wrist. So your creativity is something unique about you, and it needs to be expressed more. I want to encourage you, express your creativity, express your uniqueness. Don't be afraid to be who you were created to be. We wouldn't even mention God half the time, and then they would, if they said, why are you doing this? We would say, because we live in a world that's full of discouragement, and God wants you to know how much you're loved and how much he is the God of steadfast love and encouragement. That's one of the things that's said about him in the Bible. So we want to give you an encouragement from God. And then if they asked more, we could go deeper, but if they didn't, we left it at that. We planted a seed that someone else would water, that someone else would reap. So that's something that you can do. If you're techie, do a piece of Photoshop art. You might see a particular gift that speaks to you of the person. Take that gift and wrap it up and give them the word that goes with it. Make Christmas tree ornaments or buy a Christmas tree ornament that has prophetic significance. Some people like a new Christmas tree ornament every year. Buy them one that has prophetic significance and give it to them with a prophetic word that goes with it, so that every time they hang it on their tree, they're reminded of that prophetic word from God. Do a prophetic identity statement. It's a short biographical paragraph that shares how heaven sees a person. You can form a prophetic identity statement for someone by asking Holy Spirit some questions. God, who do you say this person is? And write it out. What's one of your favorite things about them? What Bible character are they most like? What's the spiritual significance of their name? You can do all of these, or you can just pick one. What promise do you want to extend or affirm to them? And then from the answer to the question, craft a statement out of that that speaks to their identity. And another couple of group activations, the balloon one that we just did. If you've got family coming, then you do all the filling of the balloons beforehand, put them under your Christmas tree, then everyone gets to pop a balloon. It's a good one for Sunday school as well. Kids love popping balloons. Adult kids love popping balloons. And another one is do the Secret Santa thing, you know, where you buy a gift that has a prophetic statement attached to it, wrap it, put it in a pile, everyone chooses a random gift, and then with that gift that's in the parcel, write the prophetic word that goes with it. And then everyone just gets a gift from Secret Santa. The best Santa. The one who never asks if you've been naughty or nice. The one who just goes, I forgave you all. So anyway, Father, thank you for your creativity. Thank you that your creativity knows no bounds. And because we're like you, our creativity knows no bounds. Father, so much so that back in the beginning, you said over a group of people, whatever they've imagined is not beyond them. Father, you've given us imagination, you've given us creativity, and we can use it as we pray, we can use it as we worship, we can use it to bless people, to prophesy over them. Father, we can use it to show your nature and character, your personality shining through us. So, Father, right now, Father, I'd like you just all to hold your hands out in front as if you're receiving. Father, right now, Father, I release a fresh impartation of creativity to come upon everyone here. Father, that you would freshly fill them with your creative power. Father, enhance their imagination, their ability to see with the eyes of their mind and heart the things that you have imagined for them. Father, to know that you are the God who can do way more than we could ever think or imagine. Father, now, fresh filling, fresh empowering. Just let it settle in you. You may or may not feel anything, but the word has been sent to do a job, and it will do what it's been sent to do. Amen.